Good afternoon and thanks for tuning into Manx Radio today. It's 6 minutes past 12. The man in line in session through till 1 today. The government media conference so for coronavirus is at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The update yesterday, no confirmed positive tests, 63 days. So the total number of confirmed cases remains at 336. There have been 7,743 concluded tests. 12 people waiting results at the moment. Just one person on the list for a test, and that's part of the extended testing regime. Well, the media conference today at 4 live on Manx Radio, and tomorrow the Treasury Minister will be here. Alfred Cannon, MHK, will be live on The Man in Line just to talk about, of course, it's end of term. It's the final Tynwald of this Tynwald session. They're coming back in October. So lots and lots of stuff has been crammed in over the past 3 days. If you're listening, that's still going on AM 1368. There's an awful lot happening. But what has happened this week is that we moved from stage 5 to stage 4. And importantly, and this is something I don't think we'd have even contemplated in the dark days of coronavirus 2-3 months ago, is that the air corridor opened with Guernsey and with a bit of pomp and circumstance. People from Guernsey came to the Isle of Man and Manxes departed slightly later than advertised for Guernsey yesterday. And we're open. And this is purely because of the Guernsey State Airline, or Aurigny, which has got a fascinating history. And I'm delighted to say Mark Darby's with me. Mark's the Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hi, Andy.
You've been involved with Aurigny how long now?
7 years.
Okay. So just draw us a pencil portrait around this. Owned by the bailiwick of Guernsey, is that right?
Yeah, it's been owned by the bailiwick for over 50 years now. And it's 50 years old. It's been owned for the last 20-odd years by the States of Guernsey. And we operate from Guernsey for Guernsey. And we have six flights, in normal times, have six flights a day to Gatwick, flights to regional area, destinations like Manchester, East Midlands, etc. And we employ something like 300 people.
Why Guernsey, and why would the government take to, I mean, I say why Guernsey, I don't want to be pejorative about this, but Jersey's bigger than Guernsey. Why didn't Jersey nip in and buy it?
You have to ask Jersey, but I think there was an opportunity, and the politicians at the time had great foresight. You know, they could see the importance of securing the island's air links. You know, it's such an important service for the island. And, you know, just to bring people in, bring professionals in, particularly into the financial services sector. You know, yes, it's, you know, you have to make it a great place to live, and part of that is actually perversely the way, you know, getting people off the island as well as getting them onto it. So, yeah, making it that attractive place to live, you need great air service and you need security of supply. And I think no more so than now. You know, this last, you know, this crisis we're still living through, it's hopefully slowly emerging. Air service is going to be key to the economic recovery.
How has COVID affected cash flow and what have you at Aurigny?
Oh, it's it's been disastrous. But one of the first decisions the states took, so the states of Guernsey took at the beginning of the crisis, was to put the financial support needed to keep Aurigny going through to the end of the year, as if we had no revenue at all. So that's great. It's a fantastic position to be in. But we've been operating all the way through. We've been providing services between the islands to Alderney. And then, of course, we've been providing this service, this air bridge that we started yesterday.
So what's the relationship with the government? You're a commercial company operated at arm's length. Is there any political representation on the board? Do you have a political officer? What happens?
We have a shareholder representative, or a group that we report to as our shareholder, but we have a commercial board. So we operate at arm's length. Our decision making is commercial, but always with an eye to what does the island need? What's really going to serve the island's interests best?
Are you mandated to make a profit?
No. Break even, ideally.
Which is... I'm trying to get my head around that. Commercial board, commercial company. So that you really have to balance public need, public service, and a commercial operation.
Yeah, and it's not always perfect. But then, for example, at the moment we provide inter-island service to Alderney, which is one of the sister islands, part of the bailiwick of Guernsey, and we lose probably £3 million a year providing that service.
£60,000 a week.
Yeah, plus. but that's just for a population of 2,000 people. But it's an essential air service. If you live on Alderney, the seas are very rough. There is no reliable boat service. There's a service that occasionally operates in the summer, but there's nothing there in the winter at all. So if you want to get off for medical reasons, go and see a doctor, or even a medevac, we provide a medevac service. We take seats out, put a stretcher into one of the planes, and fly people off. You know, and that's the sort of thing you can do if you own your own airline.
What's the public view of Aurini?
It's a love-hate relationship. It always is. You know, there's a bit of tension. The fares are never cheap enough, but in fact our fares are very reasonable. But at times like this, I think our popularity at the moment is as high as it's ever been, because I think people realise, you know, people in Guernsey now realise how important it is to have that security of air service.
We had the same thing when the Isle of Man had Manx Airlines years ago. It was a love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
Everybody loved the fact that it was there. As you say, the fares were never cheap enough, or they didn't do this or they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And when Manx Airlines went, everybody talks about it like a lost relative now.
Yeah.
And the same with Euromanx, the same with Citywing. It just seems that we get our airlines and they disappear. So it's squaring the circle. Would you say then this political commercial model that Guernsey have is any sort of blueprint?
I think there's always scope for improvement. For example, the state's decided to go to open skies in 2018. Really, personally, I think it was a mistake. You know, the island is too small. It's 65,000 people. And open skies just doesn't work. The markets are just never going to be big enough to sustain competition. And what you end up with, and as we found late last year, we had Flybe, death throes, desperate to survive, doing anything that made sense to them at the time to try and bring some cash in. We knew it was a one-way street. We knew they were going to go out of business, but we had to suffer the consequences while they were doing so. And so all the time you've got a small market, you need to have some sort of control over your air service. And just open skies, making it a complete free-for-all, it's really just a recipe for financial problems.
Mark Darby is with me, Chief Exec Officer of Guernsey's airline, Aurini, of course, flying to and from Guernsey to the Isle of Man. Are we surprised that this operation took off?
Well, we've been working closely with the government in Guernsey. We've been supported fantastically here by Brian Kelly on the tourism side. So we've been working in partnership with him, and he was helping to sort of get things moving at this end. So that's worked brilliantly. When we started it, we thought, well, we might sell a few seats. So we put on, I think, 1,500 seats for sale between the end of July and the end of August. We've now sold over 5,000 seats between the islands, and I reckon it's about 50-50 split, people coming from Guernsey to the Isle of Man and Isle of Man going down to Guernsey. So that's 1,200-1,300 tourists going in each direction that the islands wouldn't have had, and I think it has to be great for both islands.
What's the plan for Guernsey in terms of borders? When do you think your operation will get back to any form of normality?
Good question. I think what I'm hearing is probably September, mid-September. But even then, we're not sort of throwing the borders open. I think both islands have got to where they've got to with the virus, that they're very keen to keep it and they don't want to leave, to lose the freedom of movement and the sort of normality that we both islands now enjoy. So I think it's going to be a very measured opening. Will it be a complete sort of open up? I doubt it. I think there'll be some testing. I think there'll still be restrictions. But at the moment, we have the same restrictions as you do here. 14-day isolation if you come in, and if you break it, £10,000 fine.
Tell me, does Aurini have tech facilities, maintenance facilities at Guernsey?
What, for us, for the airline? Yes.
You.
Oh, yeah.
So you maintain, as well as the airline and the highly trained pilots and the staff and what have you, and the officers, you've got spanners there.
Yeah. So we have our own what's called a Part 145 organisation. So that can do all the maintenance we need on our fleet of aircraft. And we've got a jet. We've got four large propeller aircraft, ATRs. Three of them are brand new. In fact, we probably have the youngest fleet of any airline in Europe at the moment. So the propeller aircraft are brand new. We renewed those late last year. And we have the smaller aircraft, the Dornier 228s, and we maintain them all.
Mark, you sound very proud of your operation.
I think it is something to be proud of. And I think, as an island, I think most Guernseys, as we call ourselves, are proud of the airline. Yeah.
Well, it's good to talk to you. Long may it continue. And thanks for getting this together. We wish Brian Kelly and Aurigny, yourselves, very well indeed. And hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Yeah,
thanks for being with us today. Mark Darby, CEO of Aurigny.
Kids invading conference calls is not the only problem people have working from home. But the real concern for many is that working remotely just doesn't match the performance of the office. IOM Cloud provides solutions to make working from home easy without sacrificing security or performance, allowing seamless working wherever you are. Call 62 49 50 or visit iomcloud.com and receive your first 3 months free. Make remote working work with IOM Cloud.
Construction waste a day.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
You're sure to find something fabulous at Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers.
From stunning gold and silver jewellery that you can make extra special with an engraved message, to local prints and gifts for every occasion, Ramsey Art Gallery also stock a fantastic range of watches, including Ted Baker, Citizen, Storm and Accurist.
Plus Seconda, Timex, Sexy and Bulova.
All with lifelong free strap adjustment. You'll love what you find in store when you visit Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop in Ramsey.
Order your alcohol and soft drinks from vino.co.in.
For red and white wine.
vino.co.in.
Beers, champagnes, spirits.
vino.co.in.
Soft drinks and more.
All online at vino.co.in.
Our wine shop may be closed, but we deliver to your door.
For our full range, visit vino.co.in or find us on Facebook.
RexMotorCompany.im.
When you need to replace your vehicles, it can be hard deciding on whether to lease a car or to buy a car. That's why at Rex Motor Company, we offer both fixed cost leasing and vehicle sales. For the best deals from hatchbacks to estates and coupes to commercials, visit us at Whitehoe Industrial Estate off the Old Castletown Road or find Rex Motor Company online.
Rex Motor Company, RexMotorCompany.im.
Admiring our new purchase, Dewan.
Very impressive, missus. Good looking, stylish, sleek lines, easy maintenance, and very practical.
Geoffrey's impressed too.
Look, he's out there now. I've never seen anyone get so enthusiastic over a lawnmower.
Dewan, I'm talking about these new style flush sash windows from Spectrum with more glazing and a much better view.
Well, put the kettle on and let's watch Geoffrey mow the lawn.
For the latest window innovations, visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
The winning continues next week on Manx Radio when we have another huge prize to give away, a seventh generation iPad from Manx Telecom. Each day from Monday through to Friday, we'll have a pixelated picture on the Manx Radio Facebook page of a mystery island location. And when we open the window of opportunity and give a short clue, you'll have 5 minutes to text your answer. We'll then do the prize draw at the end of the week on The Late Show with Stu. So make sure you like the Manx Radio Facebook page and make sure you're with us all next week on The Nation Stage. When an iPad from Manx Telecom could be yours.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint. furnished by Magic Carpets.
20 past 12. Fascinating to talk to Mark Darby, CEO of Aurini, Guernsey's airline. They're providing the flights to and from Guernsey for Manx people heading off to the Channel Island and Guernsey people coming to the Isle of Man. It's also interesting to note one of our former chief ministers was one of the first passengers to come from Guernsey. So it's good to see Richard Corkill. And he talked about the fact that they don't have to make a profit, break even. And indeed losing money, that much money, on the Alderney flight into Guernsey. In fact, at the moment, I think last year they lost £8 million. And I don't think they ever make that much profit. In fact, they haven't made any profit for the past 7 years. But it is a public service. Did you hear what he had to say about open skies as well? It's a thought, isn't it, we now have. And just imagine how much more tension there would have been if we hadn't owned the steam packet. So, well, we'll see. But obviously, that's the fact that the bailiwick, the bailiwick of Guernsey and the states of Guernsey, the government, put their hands into the public purse to underwrite their own airline. Any thoughts on that? You can text, you can email, and you can call. Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com, or call 66 13 68. We had lots of comments in while Mark was on the air. We didn't discuss, by the way, the cost of purchase landing slots at airports. Obviously, that will come in, but that becomes an asset, of course. Remember when, I think when Manx Airlines went, one of their prime assets were the Heathrow landing slots, worth an awful lot of money. Anyway, let's come back down to ground now. Would you feel safer using roads on the Isle of Man in towns if the speed limit were 20 miles an hour? Or is that a bit too far? 20 miles an hour. Tynwald couldn't decide whether or not to introduce more 20 or 30 mile an hour speed limits on the Isle of Man. Alex Watton with the details.
Bill Shimmons asked colleagues in Parliament to agree that the maximum speed limit on urban roads should be 20 miles per hour, and on narrow rural lanes it should be 30 miles per hour. The Middle MHK says it would have a big impact on road safety.
Until recently, it's not been possible to record speed as a contributory factor in serious collision reports, so our data set is limited. Honourable members should also be aware that sadly there have been a number of fatalities on narrow rural lanes in recent years. I submit that despite the lower level of evidence base for a narrow rural lane for a 30 miles per hour limit, common sense should apply and we should adopt this rather than a de-restricted limit in these locations.
Kerry Sharp, MLC, agreed, pointing to the calmness of COVID-19 under lockdown.
One of the abiding memories most people will have from lockdown is how many more people used their precious 1 hour a day of exercise to get out, walking and cycling on the back roads, running on the pavement. And the Chief Minister mentioned this earlier today. Time and again, I met families who were on footpaths for the first time, telling me how they'd set off for a walk on a twisty back road and then spotted a footpath they'd never known existed.
Martin Perkins, however, suggested public opinion looked very different.
The feedback that I've received from the driving public is that they simply have had enough of government interference. Cycle lanes, bus lanes, not to mention the increased cost of road tax, it's driving them all up the wall. The only problem is they can't get to the wall because of all the roadworks.
His GARF colleague, Daphne Kane, agreed.
The amount of email correspondence and comment that any mention of reviewing the national speed limit gets is phenomenal. And I don't think the Isle of Man community has determined where it sits on that. I do know that the speed limit debate being tabled prompted more emails and messages to me than any other subject on this order paper.
And Ray Harmer argued the lockdown calmness wasn't due to speed limits.
It's about relative speeds, and unfortunately, part of the motion doesn't really concentrate on the relativity. And why is that important? Because just to make the court aware, there was no change to town centre speeds during the pandemic, but we all noticed a reduction of speeds in the town centre.
In the end, members couldn't agree on an amendment from Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker, who looked to derail the plans. The vote will therefore now be carried out in October following the summer recess.
So it's been put off. Have you had any thoughts on that? 20 miles an hour, the island speed limit, 20 miles an hour in towns and not 30 miles an hour. Any thoughts? You heard what our politicians had to say in Tynwald yesterday, and I just wonder where you stand on this. A note in that said the proposed new speed limit, says Kev, with the proposed new 20 mile an hour speed limit in built-up areas, has anybody thought this through? There's not a single modern vehicle that's capable of travelling at 20 miles an hour in top gear. They would need to travel in fourth gear or maybe even in third gear. This would increase the revs being used in these areas, therefore increasing the amount of pollution and exhaust. Surely this is the exact opposite of what they're trying to achieve. Kev, maybe that what they'll say now is you should have an electric vehicle. But we take your point on that. It's just noise coming from the MHKs, who we haven't heard a word from until election looms. Well, election's 15 months away. So they're taking a bit of a run in. Paul dropped me a note to say, Andy, I see the DOI have now offered free bus rides at peak times for anyone travelling from Laxey, Baldrian and Onchan, but not through to Ramsey. So we're getting nowhere. We're getting somewhere, but we need more buses to be put on at peak time. If they do this, it will be a success. They now have to advertise it robustly. This is the because of the kerfuffle on Glen Crutchery Road, back to Governors and down to St Ninian's, they're offering subsidised bus travel or bus tickets for people from Onchan. So Laxey, Baldrian and Onchan will get that. Thank you, Paul, for that note in. I just wonder where you stand. We've talked a lot about speed limits and about, you remember, the maximum speed limit during the lockdown and whether that should be carried on. Well, of course, it was put aside because it was under the emergency powers. But I just wonder whether you think 20 miles an hour is the maximum speed limit. Well, most people can't really do more than 20 miles an hour in some of the towns. If there's traffic in front, you get slowed down anyway. And 30 miles an hour, well, what do you think? Text, email or call. This speed limit thing kind of just rolls on and on and on, doesn't it? John said, I'd be happy if there were a speed limit of 40 miles an hour and towns 25 miles an hour. Undoubtedly, it would save lives. There is evidence, isn't there, as to what speed someone hits a pedestrian determines the severity of the injury. The higher the speed, the worse the injury. That's there we are. Cliff, is Bill Shimmins Amish? He won't be happy until we resort to walking, cycling or horse and cart. I think Mr. Shimmins is a firm cyclist, isn't he? He's a very adept cyclist himself and he's very pro-cycling. So it's everybody's right. As a politician, you're quite right to follow your own interests. And he is a cyclist, has been a cyclist for a long time. He's not a Johnny-come-lately where that's concerned. He believes in it. So maybe we should all be cycling. Text 166177. That's just I'm not telling you to be a cyclist, by the way. Text 166177. Mark Darby, interesting guy. And thanks for the feedback on Mark Darby, the CEO of Aurini. The first batch of visitors from Guernsey landed in the Isle of Man yesterday. The first tourist to arrive at Ronald's Way since lockdown. My world's changed, hasn't it? They've flown between the two Crown Dependencies under this newly established air corridor. Tim Glover was at Ronald's Way Airport and asked them what plans they got while they're here.
Welcome to the Isle of Man. How's the trip been?
Fine.
Bit of a delay.
Apart from an hour's delay, then we had to wait for another plane before we could get off. But yeah, get off that rock is absolutely fantastic.
And what are you going to do? How long are you here for?
We're here till Sunday, but we don't know what we're going to do.
Just make it up as you go along.
Yeah, just see what happens as we go.
We're training to climb Kilimanjaro in November, so we thought we'd use the hills here as well. And just until Sunday, because that was the last flight or next flight out, so just a long weekend.
Four days.
And what are you going to do?
Well, we're going to chill and we're going to walk and we're going to enjoy your beautiful countryside, hopefully.
Just see as much as we can of the island.
And the delay, inevitable really, wasn't it, with the first flight?
Coming from Guernsey, we're used to it, so yeah, it's a chance to see somewhere new and get off the island for a bit of a break. So
There they were, the first visitors. And to meet them, to offer a welcome, the head of Visit Isle of Man was Angela Byrne.
It's just so nice to see visitors come onto the island, and just talking to a few of them, they're so looking forward to being here. Some of them haven't been here before, which is great, so it's going to be really good to see what they make of it. A lot of varied reasons as to why they've come over. A lot of them wanting for the scenery and to go on the steam trains. So it's great. It is good to welcome them.
And you've got a lot of brochures and some chocolates and water bottles just to make them feel a little bit extra special.
Yeah, it's the first flight in from Guernsey, so we wanted to come down and welcome them. And obviously, from Visit Isle of Man's perspective, it's making sure, it's just so nice to have visitors. It's every little helps. It's not hundreds of thousands of people, but it's a small start, and obviously the staycation market's really done well as well, we're hearing. So it's just that little bit to try and help the sector.
And just finally, it looks like the car hire firms have done quite well from this.
Yeah, we were talking to them earlier. I think there's about 40 hire cars that are booked out off this flight alone. So the companies, we've said to the companies if they could let us know what the numbers are like. So, and the car hire companies have obviously been hit really hard as well through the lack of visitors. So it's good to see them get some business, and also that we've got visitors going out and enjoying the roads. So excellent.
Angela Byrne greeting the visitors from Guernsey. So we wish them well. Well, you live on an island, you know the weather changes. It'll be fine later on this afternoon. Text 166177, email studio at maxradio.com. Open airways, obviously this is open skies, I think Betty says, hasn't worked. The Isle of Man is too small. We need our own aircraft, even if it doesn't make money. It would give us security. This has been talked about for a long time. Everybody throws their paper thin on having our own airline, but it costs money. And remember, Mark Darby was saying the model is, it is a commercially operated company that is doesn't have to make a profit. Well, in fact, it doesn't. It makes substantial losses. They've lost an awful lot of money. I mean, millions of pounds. The least Orini's lost was in 2014, when it only lost £2.9 million. So it depends where you see an airline, and it depends, and that is public money that's paying, underwriting Orini's operation. What do they get out of it? Connectivity. Regular aircraft movements, regular airline movements, connectivity. And as Mark was saying, they have their own engineering base, so it will be a provider of employment with an engineering base there. Interesting points of view. 20 miles an hour in town, 40 miles an hour out of town, says one correspondent. 30 mile an hour urban limits have worked forever, so why change them? Just because of cyclists. The cyclists themselves wouldn't obey a 20 mile an hour limit either. People have talked about this in the past, in that lots of cycles go above 20 miles an hour. If we want to make our roads safer, we could start by banning cyclists from the mountain road. It's like letting cyclists loose on the M6, and it's dangerous, says Anne. If you're how often do you see a cyclist on the mountain road? And you've got to be very committed. It surely wouldn't be somebody who's commuting. You wouldn't commute, wouldn't it? That would just be somebody who's doing it for exercise point of view. And again, somebody sent me a long tome in a couple of weeks ago about the different types of cyclists, saying you always talk about cyclists. There are sports cyclists, exercise cyclists. There are people who just ride a bike, you know, for a bit of fun, and some people who commute. So there are lots and lots of different types of cyclists. Maybe we should classify them. John, note in to say, I won't mention what he said we should do to cyclists, because I'll be accused of spreading bad feeling about cyclists. So I won't mention that. The problems with alcohol on the Isle of Man during lockdown. In the few weeks post-lockdown, it seems issues involving alcohol on the Isle of Man are on the increase. Very serious subject. Alcohol abuse is not funny, and it causes an awful lot of problems within people's lives and damage to people. We'll look at the issues that have been exacerbated by the lockdown on alcohol later on the Man in Line. Oh, there was one guy from Guernsey as well.
How was the flight coming over?
Late.
And what's brought you to the Isle of Man in the first place?
Because there's nowhere else to go to. So we thought we'd come and see what the Isle of Man had to offer.
And what do you think it has to offer?
February, by the looks of it at the moment.
Thanks to our friend at ITV for finding that man. Yeah. The Man in Line's on. Live through till one today. Alf Cannon's on tomorrow, by the way.
We can all do our bit to help the environment. Here at Man Waste Recycling, we tailor our services to individual businesses by providing recycling solutions for cardboard, paper, UPVC, plastics, cans, cartons and more. We'll advise you on how your business can recycle so you can help make our island even more environmentally friendly.
Man Waste Recycling, call today.
Take a tip from me. You can make a lot more of your garden when you visit Ramsey Garden Centre. They've everything you need to make your outdoors magical, from seasonal bedding and perennials to beautiful roses, shrubs and more. Light up your garden with their solar lighting and get inspired in their summer garden room, all at Ramsey Garden Centre. For all your garden needs, including expert help and advice, call 816 506 or pop into Ramsey Garden Centre, Albert Road, Ramsey. Open 7 days a week.
Does your accountant support your business? At Nicola Bowker & Co., we help over 200 businesses to thrive. See how we can help your business. Contact Nicola Bowker & Co. today on 861271 for a free meeting.
Summer is all about the outside. It's here, waiting for you in ShopRite's chillers, so you don't miss out on your sunshine. Look for Summer Edition by Sainsbury's. A world of flavours for summer eating with all the hard work done for you. Kebabs, ribs, drumsticks, sizzlers, ready to go straight into your oven or onto the barbecue, freeing you to relax and enjoy the compliments. Summer Edition by Sainsbury's, exclusively at ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting carers first.
Crossroads have been providing services to local carers and people with care needs for over 30 years. As the leading provider of support for carers on the island, our services are all about improving the lives of carers and giving them a break from caring. Visit crossroadsiom.org for more information.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting carers first.
At NFU Mutual Douglas, we believe in having real conversations with our customers. That's why we know our customers prefer car insurance they can rely on. We understand customers, and unlike some others, we don't charge admin fees for making changes to your policy. With NFU Mutual Douglas, your no-claims discount is protected if you're hit by an uninsured driver. Terms and conditions apply. We also include RAC breakdown cover as standard if you break down more than a quarter of a mile from home and the total recovery distance is less than 20 miles. These are some of the reasons we are the Which recommended car insurance provider. If you'd like to have a real conversation about quality car insurance, call our team today on 674-191.
Going back in time on the sounds of the nation, it's the Caroline Flashback.
Later in the day, the town will be invaded by about 5,000 mods and rockers.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Chris Williams.
This is the medium wave service of Manx Radio, the first ever station to be authorized to broadcast in the medium wave band with a local commercial service for the people of the Isle of Man.
Saturday mornings, 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
Good afternoon, Jerry. How many bikes did you see?
Seven, Andy.
Seven? Driving from where to where? Where were you?
They were coming up from Ramsey. There was one going up the hill, followed by another. And then when I got on the veranda, there was two abreast, four.
Okay. Did they look like sports cyclists, exercise cyclists, or were they commuting, do you think?
No, I think they were on a race. Really belting down they were, really pedalling.
How do you feel about cyclists on the mountain road then, Jerry?
We shouldn't have cyclists on the mountain road. If it was a speed limit of 30 or 40, that's great. But if you drive across the mountain road, like you have done, Andy, and you whiz round a bend at 50, 55 miles an hour, and you're catching two cyclists and you have to veer out, if you misjudge it, you've gone down the side of the mountain.
So what would you say then to cyclists who say this is a freedom thing? They should be able to go in any road.
Well, that's great. I'm quite happy to tell a cyclist he's got freedom to do it. Let's get insurance. I can give you one instance, Andy. Happened a few months ago. I was driving to Castletown. Stopped at some traffic lights. Cyclist come alongside of me. Quite a nice guy. Looked at his bike. Really expensive. Misjudged his foot. He leant on me mirror. I have a BMW 5 Series. The mirrors are not cheap. When I said to him, when he paid for that damage, and he said, it was an accident. He cycled off.
So you now have to claim on your fully comprehensive insurance for your mirror?
Yeah, but why should I, Andy? That's a point against my insurance company again. I just forked out the £850, by the way.
And did the insurance company, I mean, does that come off your no claims now?
Yes, if you claim off your insurance, that'll affect your no claims, but I just paid cash for it and got it done myself. The question, my answer is that we all want to cycle more. I cannot cycle. You know who I am, Andy. I'm the Derry for Man in the Shed. And the problem being is that there's more and more cyclists come on. Great idea. But why can't they have insurance? Why can't they have insurance? In Holland, you have to have a registered bike and you have to have insurance.
Okay. Now, is that specific insurance or do they include it in household insurance, do you know?
No, it doesn't. You have to have a cycle insurance just for damage. Collateral damage, it's called.
And that's about that. And that's in Holland, is it?
Yes, it's in Holland. There's more bikes in Holland than there is cars. And the other thing I can tell you, Andy, they have the right-of-way in Holland. Bikes have the right-of-way.
Oh, crikey, yes, that's true. Certainly. Well, in Amsterdam, I've been around Amsterdam, and you don't cut a cyclist up in Amsterdam.
Yeah, no, because I can understand, and it's great. I can't cycle, but the problem being is that if we're going to have all this business going on, let's do it so that the car drivers as well have a good chance, as well as the cyclist.
Okay.
But on the mountain road, now there's going to be an accident because you'll have a car coming round the bend, you know, and you're coming round the bend. There's several bends up there. There's a car coming round the bend. You're going round the bend. The cyclists in the middle, we're all doing 50, 55 or whatever. Some are doing faster. And to brake on a day like today, the accident's there. Be happened.
Okay. Let me just then, for avoidance of doubt then, Jerry, you're not anti-cyclists, you just want insurance.
Yeah, I'd love to cycle, but I can't with 10.5 kilos of metal in my body. But they should be allowed to cycle anywhere they are, if Biden have got the insurance to cover the damage.
Okay. All right, Jerry, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us today. Hope your new mirror's okay. Anyway, Paul, hello.
Afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Good, thanks. Did you enjoy Mark Darby?
Yes. I made some very, very valid points, I think, and certainly points that are very pertinent to the island, to the Isle of Man, as much as they are to Guernsey. It's something, as I said before, you know, where good slots are now available primarily into London airports, be it Heathrow or even Gatwick. And we don't really want to miss the trick here. We hear so many people lamenting about the demise of Manx Airlines a generation ago. And I think it'll be the case in another generation if we miss out on this opportunity. It's something that we really need to look at in order to get the economy of the island going again. It needs to be driven by good, reliable, scheduled air services to key destinations, and offering the frequency that the business traveller and the leisure traveller, needs.
Why do you think the government and past governments have been so entranced by an open skies policy?
It's difficult to say. You could say that probably some actually didn't grasp what the open skies actually entailed. Others thought that maybe it would create what they set out for it to create, and that was a multitude of routes served by various carriers. But I think really we have to look at as probably quite a failure for the island, really. It has It hasn't given us any sustained air services. It's given us, in the main, a lot of issues with regard to keeping a decent schedule, primarily to London. And the fact now that, you know, coming out of the coronavirus lockdown, that's when we look to re-establish our routes, then we really need to know that they're going to be operated on our behalf and by our own based airline.
Can you tell us, Paul, you've been in the aviation game a long time, why didn't the Blackpool route work for the Isle of Man?
It's to do with volume, I think, Andy. I mean, whilst Blackpool's a place primarily for holidays, leisure travellers, it's not really got links onto further destinations. A key thing with flying from the island is that you feed into the larger airports, be it Manchester, Birmingham, or as we were last year, into Heathrow, enabling people to connect on worldwide. So that, I think that's the key element of what we need to see as our own airline, is being able to serve those key points. Blackpool itself, it used to be years ago operated by Jersey European, the forerunner of Flybe, and they used to operate a short 360, a 36-seater aircraft, but it used to also go via here onto Belfast, so there was that load was able to be sustained by having passengers obviously wanting to go to Ireland as well.
Yes, there's been lots of debate as to, because I think, do the council own Blackpool Airport, I think, now, don't they?
They do, and I think a lot of the infrastructure has been taken away from it. I don't think there's any scheduled services out of there any longer.
No, I think the only thing that goes in and out of the certainly I think the helicopters go to the gas rigs from Blackpool, but that's about it. So, Paul, where do we stand then? What do you think will happen? Do you think somebody's going to have to set up an airline on the Isle of Man and then go to the government with a proposal for underwriting it? Or how do we move forward?
Well, you know, Manx Airlines was a standalone business. It never asked the government for a penny. It generated its own profit, employed in the region of 600 people, was the largest independent employer on the island. So it pumped millions of pounds into our economy. There's no reason why an airline can't be profitable working off the island if we ensure that the route structure is properly managed and those who are working for it are here on the island.
So for the uninformed, why did Manx Airlines just disappear?
Well, as you know, it was acquired by British Airways, and I think, quoting him directly, I think Mr. Lydiard did offer the golden share to the government at the time for £1, which would have included the three Heathrow slots, incidentally, although there's a misconception on the island that Manx Airlines was acquired by British Airways purely because of the Heathrow slots. It, in fact, wasn't. I mean, British Airways operated around about 400 slots at daily in and out of Heathrow at that time, and we operated three. So, you know, you're talking less than 1%. And whilst it wasn't acquired for the Heathrow slots was a nice little cherry on the cake, as it turned out to be. And it didn't take long until they thought that it would be better devoted to long-haul traffic and then move the Isle of Man service around to Gatwick.
How important do you think a connection is to Dublin, to the Republic, Paul?
I think that's very important, looking at routes onwards into North America, because certainly International Airlines Group, the umbrella group for British Airways, Aer Lingus, Iberia, are certainly looking at developing quite a substantial long-haul network out of Dublin. So it's an excellent route if you certainly want to go westbound to the States. I think it could be very viable. But again, I think it's better for us to operate it ourselves and look to code share or operate a franchise on behalf of a larger airline. Like, for instance, we used to have a British Regional Airlines, which operated under the British Airways franchise banner. So you use their booking engine, you use all their ground infrastructure, the connection of the passenger is then seamless through the airport. So they would be fed into, for argument's sake, Dublin by our airline in flying in, would it be Aer Lingus colours or British Airways? It wouldn't matter. And then able to transfer through onto a long haul flight on the same ticket, through checked in baggage, completely seamless.
All right, Paul, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Andy.
All right, good to talk to you. This is The Man in Line on Manx Radio. A few weeks post-lockdown, it seems that issues involving booze, alcohol on the Isle of Man are on the increase. Beth Espy with the details.
When faced with a global pandemic, it's probably not surprising that people are more likely to turn to alcohol as a way of coping with stress and anxiety. But it seems that what may have started out as a way of switching off for some has somewhat spiralled out of control. Thea Ozenturk is head of the charity Motivate, which supports people with alcohol-related dependency on the island. She says the coronavirus situation has been something of a perfect storm.
I think that alcohol consumption has almost certainly gone up. And there's a level of society now as well that's kind of on the honeymoon period as well, that they're able to go out. And we're seeing this in the Isle of Man. There's a little bit of a sort of a Christmas mentality going on, you know, Black Eye Friday almost at the weekends, I've heard it described as out there. But for people who maybe have started to drink a bit more over the pandemic, they may be struggling now to kind of get back to normal. It's interesting that referrals have gone up so much. I think we did something like about 1,600 appointments, mostly virtual, but we, you know, some face-to-face. That was a record-breaking quarter for us during the lockdown period. That's the period from March to the end of June.
And while some people are clearly dealing with personal battles, there has been a rise in the number of alcohol-related issues which the police are having to deal with around the island. Sergeant Alan Shimmon is in charge of the alcohol unit.
As we expected, it was going to be busy. People wanted to go out and start enjoying themselves and start getting back to some degree of normality. So when the pubs opened a bit earlier than we anticipated or prepared for, I was quite pleased how, in general, how it all happened, and the members of the public went out and enjoying themselves, and it had a really nice atmosphere. But slowly, over the next couple of weekends, we've just seen a bit of a trend where some people have overstepped the mark a bit more and have ended up in a little bit of trouble due to drink-related offences, which is quite disappointing, to be fair.
Is it a trend you typically see at this time of year? You know, it is generally, I know, can't tell at the moment, always with the weather, but it's generally a little bit warmer. People turn to alcohol more often, I suppose, in that sort of weather.
We've missed out in a TT. We've missed out in the festive and enjoyment. So people are used to going out, and I think a lot of people are trying to make up for that. The weather is always going to be a factor, especially during the weekends or Saturday, having a lovely day and being able to spend a bit of time in the garden or whatever and have a barbecue or a few drinks and then end up going out. That usually ends up being the problem when you've had a few too much to drink during the day and then you end up following up by having a night out.
It's interesting then to know what people who work in pubs and clubs are seeing. I've been talking to a barman from Peel.
Yeah, I'd say we've definitely seen an upturn in trouble since the end of lockdown. I don't really know why. It's not a particular kind of group of person, but we are seeing more people drinking in the pub, or certainly we were in the first couple of weeks after lockdown. A lot of different groups of people as well, students who can't go back to the UK, regulars who've missed the pub, Saturday and Friday night drinkers. In the past 12 months, I don't think I've seen a single fight, whereas in the last couple of weeks or so, and we've seen quite a few sort of physical altercations, and it's difficult to say really why that is. The attitude from the police has been reasonable. It was difficult to start with because obviously with more trouble around, they were more stretched, and it was simply more difficult to try and keep a grip on what was going on inside the pub. It seems to have calmed down a little bit now, but that's, I think, a lot of the publicans have talked to each other about it, and it's been pubs across the board. It hasn't been just one particular pub. It seems to have been across all pubs, and I think most publicans have been worried about it. Certainly the bar staff are, because obviously if something happens within the pub, it's you that has to go out and try and deal with that.
As we heard there, he describes a response from police as reasonable, but there has been some criticism about how long it takes officers to attend some incidents. Here's Sergeant Alan Shimmon again.
We've now got our restructured constabulary, we've got the community officers and our patrol team, but we can't be everywhere at the same time. But we police on demand and try and foresee any issues and try and be in the area where we need to be. So if there's a potential problem location, we would certainly focus our resources on that. there's other areas of policing there we need have to deal with, so we can't always guarantee we're going to be there at time. That's why we rely heavily on really good cooperation, very good designated officials, licensees and door staff. If they're weak, then that causes problems for us. So that's why it's really important to have a great partnership working with them, have a good understanding, to try and work together to make this place a nice place to go out and have a social drink.
Whatever's causing this general situation, it's clear that it's placing strain on services. I've also asked whether there's any record of the number of people who attend the emergency department at Nobles because of alcohol-related issues. And with a four-day bank holiday looming in August, it remains to be seen if this general trend is set to continue.
If you've been affected by anything you've heard in that report, you can contact Motivate for free confidential advice. Telephone number 627 656, 627 656. Allaman Farmers Market's on today till 3 o'clock, by the way, at St John's Church Hall. Lots and lots of correspondence regarding cyclists and speed limits. We read everything. We've got all the messages on the answer phone on 682 631. Tomorrow it's going to be all about the budget with the Treasury Minister, Alfred Cannon, on The Man in Line. Anything you need to get in, same contact points. Thanks to our studio producer today, Howard Kane. I'm Andy Wynn. Back tomorrow.